Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So we're going to start in the book of 2 Chronicles today. Second Chronicles is book of, you know, there are good kings and bad kings. You know, there are some good kings and some a lot of bad kings, you know. And it's funny because it's the way people are. You know, people will really serve the Lord for a time and a country or a culture will really come into a relationship with God for a time. And then it's funny because it almost seems to be as things get better in a culture, people tend to drift from God. As God's blessings come upon people, people tend to drift from God. And they, you know, maybe not officially worship other gods, but they worship the things of the world, you know. And worship is praise. Worship is something that you really love a lot. You know, that's really the essence of what worship is. So we can worship material objects or a goal or so many different things that we can really worship. And God, you know, Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. So in Second Chronicles, you know, good king, bad king, good king, bad king, good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king. It's crazy. About chapter 29, Hezekiah comes into reign in Judah, and Hezekiah is a good king. He restores, because now they're like worshiping all kinds of Baals and carved images and wooden images and stone images and all these kind of things. And they're just worshiping every kind of crazy thing under the sun. And he restores the temple, or begins to restore the temple, begins to rebuild the temple, Hezekiah, the temple of God. And he also restores Davidic worship. And that's what the story about David coming down into Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant, dancing and whirling, right? In a linen ephod, dancing and whirling before the Ark of the Covenant all the way down into Jerusalem. Must have been exhausting, you know? I mean, honestly, must have been absolutely exhausting. But yet, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about restoring Davidic worship. Then he sets up the Tabernacle of David in Jerusalem, and they have 24-hour-a-day worship with horns and worship, and it's pretty cool. So that's chapter 29. Chapter 30, he keeps past the Passover for the first time in a long time, and all the people really rejoice because he keeps the Passover feast. And the Passover is a picture of Jesus, because they, if you remember, they slayed the lamb and they put the blood above the doorpost, and then the angel of death passed over when they were in Egypt, and all the Egyptian children, firstborn children, died, but the Jewish children didn't die because of this Passover. And that's the type of Jesus. When Jesus' blood is on our heart, the death angel passes over us as well. Does that make sense? So these are all pictures of Jesus. So Hezekiah now is still king, and he keeps the Passover, and the people rejoice, and they spontaneously give a great offering. And I'm gonna touch this a couple of times today, because I think it's really important that you see in the Old Testament how frequently you see these outpourings or how these outpourings of offerings have to do with outpourings of God, are correlated with outpourings of God. Hezekiah calls for an offering in chapter 31 to care for the Levites and to continue the construction of the temple. In chapter 32, the Lord blessed Hezekiah as well for his commitment to the Lord. It says this in verse 27 of chapter 32, Hezekiah. So he's blessing the Lord. Now I'm talking to you, Hezekiah. He's blessing the Lord. He's encouraging others to bless the Lord. And he's blessed. He's personally enriched. He's personally blessed. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries of silver and gold and precious stones for spices, for shields, for all kinds of desirable items, storehouses for the harvest of grain and wine and oil, and stalls for all kinds of livestock, folds for the flocks. Moreover, he provided cities for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very much property. Now Hezekiah had a heart for God. He gave God everything. He loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? He did that. And in doing that, as king, as one who had influence, he encouraged his people to do the same. Now, because he had that spirit himself, that giving spirit, the people around him were not afraid to give either. They saw the king giving sacrificially, and as a result of that, the Lord prospered and blessed the king, but also the people had this generous spirit of giving. Are you with me? Is that okay? Okay, then we go into chapter 32. Now we're going to chapter 33. And now we have King Manasseh, and he did evil. So you get this great king who does all this great stuff, and then you get Manasseh, and Manasseh does evil. He sets up all these temples again to Baal. I mean, just that's how quick. One generation we turn. One generation we serve God, the next generation we forget God. It's just, you know what I mean? It's just a crazy thing. I mean, you decide in your generation, in your heart, what you're going to do with your relationship with the living God. At the end of Manasseh's life, he repented. That's a good thing. And then came on this guy, Amon, King Amon. He only reigned for 2 years, and he did evil. All right. So now, we did all that to get to chapter 34. And this is about King Josiah. Okay, Josiah, he's a good king. Okay, so we're back to a good king. We went bad king, bad king, bad king, good king, good king, bad king, bad king. Hezekiah's a good king. Manasseh's a bad king, but turns into a good king. Amon is a bad king. And now Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength. He did not turn to the right hand or to the left. He stayed in the ways of his father David, his grand, great, 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 something granddaddy. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent the governor of the city and the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So it was already broken down again. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, I'm jumping over stuff here because there's a lot of text in between. It's a little burdensome to read it all on a Sunday morning, so I'm jumping over scriptures here and there, but I'm not stealing the context from anything. This is all in line with what the scripture says. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought from the house of God. So now all this money that had been sort of gathered up was brought to the high priest. And because this construction project had to be done on the temple, and they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, and then they put it in the hand of the foreman. I think a foreman is like an apostle. The foreman of the job of the construction of the temple is what an apostolic ministry really is. He's the master builder, he's the foreman, he's the general contractor, right? Who had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and restore the house, and they gave it to the craftsmen and builders to buy hewn stone and timber for beams, for the floor, for the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. See that? They had literally destroyed the church. They had literally destroyed the church. I mean, they had literally destroyed the church. After God created them as a great people, they destroyed the very temple of God. And the men did the work faithfully, their overseers to supervise, and other Levites, all of whom were skilled with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did work of any kind in service. It's like the musicians were overseeing everything. You know, it didn't really say if they were playing music or not, but wouldn't that be kind of a cool thing that they were worshiping God while they were building the temple? And some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. Now, when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest, listen, now, here's like my big point of the day, okay? This is what I want you to hear. When the offering was brought in, and when they brought out the money that was brought to the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law given by Moses. When they brought the offering in, they found the book of the law that was given by Moses. When they didn't find the word of God, and then they all gave an offering. By faith, they all gave offerings. They all gave offerings that were enormous. And lo and behold, Hilkiah the priest finds the book of the law. They had lost the book of the law. It's like they still celebrated Christmas and Easter, but they lost the scripture. They didn't know why they were doing anything that they were doing. They lost the book of the law. So in the rubble of the back room of the temple somewhere, left behind and forgotten was the book of the law. When they brought the offering in, Hilkiah found the book of the law. You gotta hear how important that is. Because we put things in every kind of wrong priority. The Lord says, you draw unto me and I will draw unto you. There is no mistake that the offering came and then they found the book of the law. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants they are doing, and they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it to the hand of the overseers and the workmen. And Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Just look at the order. Just look at the priorities here. Thus it happened when the king heard the words of the Lord that he tore his clothes. He'd never heard the words of the law before. When he began to hear the word of God, he tore his clothes. He was so undone. Then the king commanded, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, And for those who are left in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that it is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us. Because he realized how far they were from obeying the law. Oh my goodness. Because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to what is written in his book. So Hilkiah went to Huldah. I wish they would give names like Fred and John and Bill. So Hilkiah went to Huldah, the prophetess, and they spoke to her to that effect. Now I'm skipping some scriptures here. And then she answered them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes, and you wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you, your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring upon this place and its inhabitants. So they brought word back to the king. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in the hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. He said, get everybody. He got everybody together, all the elders, all the priests, all the people. Everybody come here. Everybody come here. Everybody come. And he read the words of the book of the law before all the people. That's a cool guy. Then the king stood in his place and made covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies, his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which were in the book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. Now we know, you don't have to tell me what you're thinking because I can read your minds. But you're saying we're not under the law. But I'm saying we are under a law. We're under the law of Christ, the law of love. We're not under the Mosaic law. You're right. You're absolutely right. All of those things that you had to do under the Mosaic law, we're not under all of those ritual commandments. The morality never went away. The moral issues of God's righteousness have never departed. However, the minutiae of the blue threads and little bells and things like that, those things are the law. We're not under the law. So for us, I will refer us to Galatians chapter 5, because that's what? NT, New Testament. Okay? So what's expected of us as children of God who love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, who are ready to run like our hair is on fire away from the things that we worship of the world and back to the God who we're called to serve with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. Galatians 5, Paul writes from verse 13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." That means you're free. Liberty is a good thing, yes? "Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." Uh-oh. That means there's an expectation when you've been called to liberty in Jesus Christ. "But through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Bam! Bam! Bangarang! Hoop-dee-doo! If you do one thing, you will fulfill the entire law. Love your neighbor as yourself. The neighbor you like? I don't think it necessarily says that. The neighbor who's the guy across the fence from your house? Well, he's included in that. But your neighbor is the one you run into. The neighbor is the one you know. Your neighbor is the one who's that cantankerous, ugly, old sidewinding snake. We give love. We don't return love that's given to us. We give love before it's given to us, even if it's not given to us. We give love. Because love is what we are. Love is what we do. Love is what we give. We do not play favorites among people. I like you, I like you, I like you. You I love, you I'm going to stay away from. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So if you go around gossiping and biting, devouring, sniping at each other, be careful, because you could get bitten and devoured. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. Listen to this. The flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's a battle going on here. You have flesh and you have spirit. If you're born again, you have a born again spirit. And they hate each other. Your flesh hates your spirit. And your spirit hates your flesh. Because your flesh wants to do everything wrong and your spirit wants to do everything godly. There is a war within. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You don't even have to worry about it. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. See, you know, idolatry, sorcery, but you get to hatred. How hard is it to get rid of hatred? Contentions. Other things are jealousies, outbursts of wrath. None of us guys know anything about outbursts of wrath, do we? Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But I thought we weren't under the law. But we are under the law of God's love. We're expected to be emissaries, ambassadors of God's love. And it doesn't matter if you think you're not under the law. If you practice these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, yes, this is what we want, yes, is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Can you imagine living in a community like that? That's what we know about ourselves, that we're a community, you know, and people want in. Because they want to be a part of a community that has these kind of characteristics. You know, no matter what rung you are on the socioeconomic ladder, that you're loved here, that you're cared for here, that there's peace here, that you're received, that if you trip up, that there's folks to restore you. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't that be a wonderful place? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What? Crucified? What? That sounds like it hurts. Crucified the flesh. Yes, it hurts. It hurts to crucify the flesh. It hurts to say no to the flesh. It hurts. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let me just read this through this quick. And brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What did he just say? Fulfill what? Law. The law of Christ. The law of Christ.
Yeah, I'm not under the law.
Well, there is a law of Christ. It's the law of love. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and in not another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while we are doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these would compel you to be circumcised. He's dealing with Judaizers now. There are false apostles coming in saying you got to do all this Jewish stuff to be saved. And Paul is saying, that's baloney. If you want to be circumcised, that flesh cut away, be circumcised in your heart. Let your heart be cut away, the flesh of your heart be cut away, so that you can walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Hi there, this is Jake Johnson. I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Today's show is titled, Finding and Fulfilling the Law of Christ. Pastor shared out of 2 Chronicles, and then also shared out of the book of Galatians today, showing us how we today are called to fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. And the Bible also says in 1 John that we can know love because Christ first loved us. Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. He died in our place, so that we can have a relationship with God the Father through his sacrifice. See, our sins have separated us from God, but because Jesus Christ died in our place as a sacrifice for our sins, when we place our faith in him, we are made new, whole, and one with God. If you've never given your life to Christ, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent from my sinful ways, and I ask that you would cleanse me by the power of your blood. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross for my sins. I believe that you rose again from the grave, victorious over death. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill me now with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus as a sacrifice for my sins. Jesus, I love you. In your name I pray, amen. If you pray that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. I'd love to take this time to invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have church every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Rain or shine, we're there with intense worship, sound, biblical, and encouraging teaching, and some of the nicest people on God's green earth. You can also watch and listen online on our YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, and more. Get connected with Catskill Mountain Christian Center by following us on all of our social media platforms and by going to our website, www.cmcconline.org. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's people with His ministry by donating. You can donate online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. Again, that's www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.